Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I was talking to a couple from Falkirk on Friday night, and they had said that the message from last Sunday morning, they listened to it in the podcast, and they said that that message was one of the best messages they have ever heard on the promises of God, and it really spoke to them. So thank you, and for everyone listening in the podcast, welcome to Apex Church. We're having a great morning, aren't we? Amen. Well, hey, I just want to just share a few verses from the Old Testament. If you've got your Bible, I would love you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to talk a few verses there. If you are taking notes, the sermon title is Possess the Promise. Everyone, tell the person on your left, possess the promise. Then tell the person on your right, but to get to the promise, you have to go through a process. This is what the Bible says. These are the words Moses spoke to all of Israel in the wilderness east of Jordan. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the south, by the Mount Seir road. So it took 11 days, but this is 40 years later. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. This was after he had defeated the Sihon king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon and at Edrei, and had defeated the Og king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. Those are not Buchenhaven names. East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying, are you ready for this? This is the promises of God. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Harabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, and along the coast and into the great river. Verse 8, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your presence so far this morning. We thank you so much for the words that you have spoken. And in a world that is filled with broken promises, we thank you that in your word there are no broken promises, and we can look to your promises, and we can trust, and we can lean on your promises. God, I just pray that in the next few moments, people in here, hurting people, hopeless people, would walk out, Lord, with a fresh sense and a fresh realization of you, Jesus. Lord, we just want to be closer to you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, hey, I don't know about you, but I love cooking. Who loves cooking in here? Who? Yeah, I love cooking. Not a lot, Hans, but it's okay. I might cook for you one day, possibly. I love cooking. One of the best things about cooking is the preparation and getting all the ingredients and putting them together. And out of one or two, three or four ingredients, you make something mostly really tasty, you know. Before I went to Australia, I cooked nothing. I was really good at putting toast in the toaster, but apart from that, I was terrible at cooking. But over the years, I've learned a bit more about cooking. But when Jen and I are in the kitchen and we're cooking, there's a conversation that goes on, and it's about the expiry date of food and the best before. Now, I'm really fussy with the expiry date. So if it's the 6th of August and it's best before the 6th of August, I'm probably not going to eat it. Even though the bag is full of spinach, I'm not going to probably eat it. I'm going to be having to be persuaded to eat it. Even though it's best before, I need it to be fresh on that day. As you know, I would obviously be really bad with budgeting because you're buying constantly new food. But Jen would just eat things that is maybe went past the expiry date maybe once, or the best before. Or it's been frozen. Yeah, if it's been frozen, I can't deal with that. It needs to be fresh. Fresh from the supermarket. I can't deal with frozen stuff either. But I love that there are some types of food that have got no expiry date, if you know this. Some certain sugars and some certain salts, soy sauce, and most importantly, rice. There are so much white rice that has got little or no expiry date. So you can have a packet of rice and 40 years down the line, you could still eat that rice if you are brave enough. But there are some foods that you just don't touch after the expiry date. Some yogurts, if you open it, some cheeses, some milk. You know that you're not going to touch that because it's went the expiry date. The promise of God is very similar. There's no expiry date to the promise of God. The promises of God, God has called them forth, and there are no expiry dates. It's not as though, okay, well, that's 30 years down the line. I can't do that anymore, or that was only for last year. God has still got purpose in front of you. God has still got his promises in front of you. And for me, understanding that, that's incredible because there are no expiry dates. To every promise in the Word, there are no expiry dates. Amen? So, all of us today are in the same place. We're all in the same place. We're in different walks of life, but we're all in the same place. We're not where we used to be, thank God. But we're not where we could be. We're in the place of the middle. We're in the place where the promise is still ahead and the deliverance is behind us, but we're in that place of not yet. And God, when he gives us his promises, God moves us out of where we are and propels us forward into where we could be. That is the promises of God. And today I'm talking about a specific promise about breaking camp, about going forth and setting a stall in the promised land. Moses, the great leader, helped the children of Israel by taking them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, taking them all the way through so close to the promised land. And this is him at the start of this chapter, at the start of this book, just explaining that God promised us 40 years ago, and God's promise is still for us yet today. And I don't know if your promise has been said 2 months ago, or the healing was going to happen a year ago or 2 years ago, but God's promise is on its way. Healing is on its way. Deliverance is on its way. And the children of Israel here were on the cusp of entering in to the promised land, entering in to somewhere that they could call their own. But there had to be a process to get to the promise. And in the next few moments, I just would love to just talk a little bit about Moses, what he did, and how we could learn to possess the promise in our life. Because God has got promises for you. If you're young, if you're middle-aged, if you're senior, whatever age you are, God has still got promise ahead of you, and he's still got purpose in front of you. God's purposes and promises have no expiry dates. So if they've got no expiry dates, then our pursuit of the promise shouldn't be expired. Is that okay? So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the promise of God. The first thing that I seen in verse 8, we're going to be just camping there for a few moments. In verse 8, it says this, "See, I have given you this land." Tell the person next to you, "See." The first ingredient that we need to possess the promise is that we need to have vision for the promise. We need to see the promise. We can't get into the promised land if we can't see the promised land. You know, you can't go to Glasgow if you do not know the way to Glasgow. If you're driving up north and you're heading to Inverness, you're not going to get to Glasgow. We have to see, we have to have vision for the promises that God has got for us. I was at the optician on Monday, getting my contact lenses organized. And thank God I'm not going any more blinder, which is good, but I'm not going any more better either. They've just stayed the same. But the optician helps me see the things that I wouldn't be able to see. God helps me see what I wouldn't usually see. And that's what vision is. Vision is the ability to see. And sometimes vision is the ability to see what others cannot see or do not want to see. We must have vision for our life. Without vision, the Bible says, the people perish. God was commanding the people through Moses to see. My question to you is, are our eyes open to the promise that he has for us? For this local church, are our eyes open to the promise, the potential, the purpose that he has got for this local house? Are your eyes open to the promises that he has got for you? Or are your eyes just closed? Are your eyes just okay? You see, without my contact lenses, I'm going to walk into walls, I'm going to walk into lampposts, and I'm not going to get very far before I hurt someone or hurt myself. But with vision, man, I can go and I can see so clear. My question to you is, can we see the promised land? Before we can even go into it, we have to be able to see it. It took 40 years for them to see where they were at. For you, it could have been 1 month, or this could be the 1 year anniversary, or this could be 10 years, and healing still hasn't came. Can I just ask you, what's your vision like? Are you seeing the promises, or are we seeing the problems? Are we seeing the problems that is all around us, or are we seeing the promises that is ahead of us? God would say, see, I have given you. God is Jehovah Jireh. That means he is God has provided. Not that God will provide. It doesn't mean that God will provide on this occasion. It says, see, I have given you this promised land. See, I have given. And for anyone in here, I believe that God would say, see, I have given you. See, I have given you your healing. See, I have given you your deliverance. See, I have given you your miracle. The miracle, the promise is already in front of us. It just determines how we walk towards it. See, I have given you. The promise is already there. It's already there for us to walk into and to see. Is that okay? See, I have given. For me, I don't want to be a settler. I don't want to settle just outside the promised land. I don't want to be a settler that maybe has vision for the promise over there. I don't want to be a person that's going to settle and is going to sit while we can maybe possibly move into. I believe that we have to see with vision and we have to move with courage into the promises of God. The promises are yes, the promises are amen. And I don't want to be a settler when we can be pioneers. And in this local church setting, what an opportunity that we get in our local town, in our community, that God has placed you and placed I, that we don't need to be settlers when we're filling the balcony and when everything's great. That's fantastic. But let's not settle in this place of safety, but let's be pioneers into the promises of God. Is that okay? Oh, great. Towards the promise. To possess the promise, we have to see the promise. We have to have vision for the promise. Number two is this, as we read on in this verse. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to you. Tell the person next to you, step in to the promises. The second ingredient to possess the promise is possibly the scariest, you know, because we can see, and if you see the promised land that is in front of you, if you see the promise that is in front, you've maybe identified it, you've got vision for it, that's okay. But the scariest thing is doing this. So when you see it, the second thing you have to do is you have to step into it. That's the scariest part. The easiest part is being able to see it. But the scariest is being able to step into it. It says here, go in and take possession of the land. God promises us, God's promises for us move us out of where we are, the comfort, safety, and security, and it moves us into the scary place, the faith zone. The children of Israel maybe could have seen Canaan, could have seen the promised land over there. And some of them would have been happy just to camp here. Look, we can see it. We're just about there. Can we not just make camp here? Can we not just call this home? But ahead of them were battles. Ahead of them were victories. Ahead of them were things that weren't always going to go to plan. And sometimes the scariest battles can be our greatest promises. Sometimes the scariest battles ahead of you could also be the greatest promises God's got for you. Amen? God called them to step into the unknown and into the uncharted. Now, I don't know about you, but the unknown and the uncharted, the place that you desperately need faith, is also the place that God comes through and he breathes his promises. And that is the promised land. So if you're going and you're stepping into something that's scary, you're stepping into maybe a decision that you're making that potentially could be, wow, this is going to take a big step. Don't just think of it as a fearful step. Think of it as a faith step that's propelling you into the promises that God has got for you. I'm talking right now about a promise that God had for me. I waited for this promise for many, many years. I seen this promise, and if you're in the podcast, I'm pointing now towards Jennifer. I seen this promise. Now, what if I was, Jennifer just kept coming along to church, and I was just seeing her, and all I did was just see her, and I didn't actually take that step. And I said, and walked over, and I took that step. You see, sometimes the scariest things that we do is taking that first step towards the promises of God. So can I encourage you that taking that first step, or maybe you're in that journey, take the next step, and the next step after that, and understand that God's promises are for you, God's protection is over you, and that God loves you. Just as Daniel preached so well last week, that it doesn't matter the height or love or the depth, God loves you so much that he's not going to leave you in that place. Step in to the promises. God called them to step in, and he says, you've been on this mountain long enough. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but sometimes there are two mountains that we live in, that we camp in. And sometimes living in a mountain can be great, but sometimes it's not so great. Today, you could be living in that mountain of safety, and God would say to you, you've been there too long. Move on. You've been maybe living in that mountain called mediocrity. God would say, move on. Instead of settling for mediocrity, let's pioneer towards God's best. Let's pioneer towards God's very best in your life and my life. Step in to the promises. For some of us, we maybe think that we have missed the boat. We have maybe missed the situation, or maybe the promises of God has passed us by. That it's came too late for me. I've got this, I've got that going on. I can't do it. Understand again that the promises of God do not come with expiry dates or best before. It doesn't come with a sign that says, okay, well, you've got purpose in your life, but it's best before 50 or it's best before 60. God can use you where you're at. God used Caleb. God used Joshua. God gave Caleb his mountain at 85 years old. So if God can give a mountain to an 85-year-old, he can give purpose to a 65-year-old. He can give a purpose to a 75-year-old. So hold on to those promises that you've got. Step in to the promises that you've got. And before the promises, there were battles. Before they could get into the promises, between themselves and promised land, there was battles ahead. And for some of us, we've experienced battles in the last year. We're going through battles right now. But understand that there is a promised land at the other side, that the God's best and God's promise is at the other side. And whatever the battle is going right now, understand it's got nothing on what God has got for you at the other side. So hey, do not give up. Do not be weary in doing good. But at the right time, God's love and God will come through for us. Amen. To possess the promise, we have got to step in to the promise. Not just see the promise and not just step into the promise. But in this verse, it says, see how I have given you this land. Go in and take possession. And then afterwards, it says, swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to their descendants after them. I love this, that I could have finished in those two points, those two thoughts, maybe expounded them a little bit more. But do you know that the promises of God for you is more than just you? Do you know this? That the promises of God that is on your life is for the people that's coming after your life, the descendants. I love that. The descendants. So right now, we are in the promises. We're pursuing the promises for us. But you don't know where that ends. We try and multiply, or we try and communicate the word through our thinking and through our ways. The Bible says that his ways and his thinking is so much greater than our ways and our thinking. So when we think that our purpose is just about our purpose, God would say, no, it's about the descendants after you. It's about the children after you, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. I love seeing young people who have got no thinking of church. They've never been brought up in church. They don't know. So when they come to church, they don't know that they're supposed to sit down. They don't know that they're supposed to listen. They think that they can bring sweeties, food, and they think that it's just a time that they just, it's the gap between right now, their supper and a Sunday to hang out with more young people. There's an hour and a half, and they just have to fill it. That's church. They think like that. But I love that young people who make a decision to follow Jesus, and their grandfathers, great-grandfather, none of them has made a decision. They are rewriting the script in their family. They are completely rewriting the script in their family history, because at 14, they're making a decision that's going to impact and affect generations after them. And the generations before them that were maybe alcoholics or had dealings with drugs, they're scrapping all that and they're putting a new blueprint on, and they're saying, well, for my descendants, this is going to be what it's going to be like. So for you right now, understand, if you're a grandparent, if you're a father, a mother, even a son and a daughter, that the craziest thought is children right now. Understand that the decisions you make are more than about the decisions you make. They're about the people that are coming after you. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for a grandparent, for a mom, a dad that brought me to church each and every Sunday, even though I hated it, even though I didn't want to go there, even though I wanted to watch Sky Sports. I am so glad that I got a mom and grandparents, a dad that brought me to church, because if it wasn't for them bringing me to church, they were seeking and chasing their purpose, but at the same time, they were walking with me in the journey as well. And I was seeing my mom and my grandparents have a walk and a desire to follow Jesus, and their purposes fulfilled in God, and I was just holding their hand the whole time. So understand that you have got incredible influence, you've got incredible power, and just like that children of Israel, Moses would say to you, God would say to you this morning, it's about the descendants coming after you. So stand on the promise. The book of Ephesians tells us that when we stand and when we do everything that we can do still to stand, we have to continue to stand. Even though we're not running as fast as we maybe were, even though we're not worshiping as much, if we're just standing on the promises and we're just trusting God with his promises, not trusting God with our promises to him, but we're trusting God with his promises towards us, that's actually an okay place to be in. That's actually a good place to be in. Stand on the promises of God. The promises of God are generational and they're eternal. So they've got no expiry date. So the promises of God are eternal. God loves us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That was spoken to the children of Israel. Thousands of years later, it's still spoken to us this morning. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. God is a generational God. God works through your generations. God works through our generations and descendants. God is a generational God. To possess the promise, we have to stand on the promise. At the picnic a few weeks ago, it was great fun. And one of the highlights for me was one of the bouncy castles. You stand on one thing and then you try and get someone off the other thing. Remember that? Did anyone remember that at the picnic? Or am I just... Was I at a different picnic? Nobody remembers. Right next to the bouncy castle, there's another one, and a lot of the kids were hanging out there. And what the purpose is it's like gladiators. One person stands there, one person stands here, and they're trying to take you off, right? Now, I avoided that because I didn't want to get embarrassed, you know, and then all of a sudden, we walk past there, and then everyone says, Stuart, you should go on with Jen. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. And then by this time, I'm trying my best to say no. All of a sudden, Jen's on the one. And I'm like, okay, challenge accepted. So what do you do? do you go on and you've got all the young lads there and you're thinking, well, I want to impress them because like I'm their youth pastor. I want to be cool, but I'm not really want to be cool by hitting my wife with a gladiator thing. And I'm like, but then even thinking of Jen, I'm like, well, I want to impress her. And we are ultra competitive, us two. So we are uber competitive. So I'm thinking, okay, well, we'll just say a laugh, you know. So we're having a laugh. Then all of a sudden, wallop to the head, we're not having a laugh anymore. Okay. So we'll go for it then. So then everything that you learned about being a gentleman just goes straight out the fence. And you are just trying your best to take this person off. You are just throwing them off. And then I think it was a best of three. I let you win a couple. I won one. I let you win a couple. So then after that, we had ice cream and we didn't talk about it. But I was the bigger man. I was the bigger man. I let her win for sure. But sometimes the walk with God, the discipleship journey that you're on, that I'm on, it feels like whatever you're doing, something's trying to get you off. Something's trying to push you off. Whatever that way is, understand that we just have to stand on the promises and trust his promises and trust what God has got to say. Is anyone getting anything out of this? Is the band just come and maybe help me right now? We're going to go into communion and just in a few moments, and Pastor Neil's going to lead that. But communion just points us towards the greatest promise that ever was. His name's Jesus. And right now, whatever season that you're in, I pray that we're just walking closer to the person of Jesus. In this world, you'll see broken promises absolutely everywhere, but you will not find one broken promise in his word. Not one. There are no expiry dates. There's none. I love how the message puts it. This verse 8, it says, on your way now, get moving. I love that. On your way now, get moving. When it comes to the promises of God, you don't need to wait until you're spiritual enough. You don't need to wait until you're holy enough. You don't need to wait until the schools go back. You can start pursuing your promise today. You can start seeing the promise. You can start stepping into the promise, and you can continue to stand in the promise today, this morning. I pray that this would impact your Tuesday, this would affect your Wednesday, this would change your Thursday, because it's not a message to just take and just to receive, but this is a message to go forth with and to shine onto your problems, your struggles, your storms, shine forth his promises. To your problems, speak forth the promises that you read forth in every single one of these pages. Wherever we are at in the journey, I pray that we are walking continually towards Jesus. However we are walking, if we're running towards him, if we're staggering towards him, I pray that we're moving towards him. This is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. God does not give us everything we want, but he does fulfill his promises, leading us along the best and straightest paths to himself. To get to the promise, there had to be a process. And to get to the promise of eternal life, there had to be a process. And that process involved a cross. You see, 2,000 years ago plus, there was a man called Jesus Christ. He was a good man. He was a great man. Jesus was fully God and fully man. Jesus went to the cross so you and I wouldn't have to. It says in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, while we were alien to God, we didn't know him. He knew us and he knew me. And while we were in our sin, while we couldn't get to God ourselves, Jesus made a way. And that is the greatest promise. The greatest promise is not purpose. The greatest promise is not vision. The greatest promise this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ, and to get nearer to him and to get closer to him. Every single day I pray that I will get nearer to Jesus. I don't want to get nearer to purpose, because when I get nearer to Jesus, I'm walking nearer to purpose. I pray that I will get nearer to Jesus. To get to the promise, there had to be a process. And that process involved Jesus going to a cross and dying for you and for I. And right now, to get to that place of where you could be, you maybe have to leave the present to get to where you could be. So right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, in this place, before we claim the promise that is Jesus, we have to leave the present, leave where you are to move to where you could be. So, with every Christian praying in here, I'm praying right now, before we go into communion, that if you do not know Jesus, or you've maybe walked away from Jesus, I would love to invite you to a relationship with Jesus, the greatest promise that ever is. A relationship with Jesus exchanges your hurt for a life filled with hope, exchanges your sin for eternal life. If that's you and you want to exchange that, with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you've heard this message many times, maybe the first time you've heard it. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, just so I know who I'm praying for, just put your hand up where I can see it. I'll pray with you at the end. If that's you, just put your hand up and we'll pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We're looking around. We're looking around. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Before the band lead us, I think it would be great if I could pray for everybody in here this morning. Maybe it'd be good to just stand, if you're okay with that. And maybe just put your arms out, just like you're a way to receive something. You're a way to receive. Because right now I'm believing this is a significant moment. This is a special moment. This is a moment that I'm believing that wherever you're at right now, whatever journey you're at, whatever season in life, if you're coming from a place of struggle or a place of hurt, I'm praying that God's going to fill you right now with what you desire and with what you need. We can talk about the promises of God, and that's great. But right now, I'm just praying that Jesus would just fill you right now, more of His Spirit, more of His presence right now, and that we could go to a place in the presence of God, that God would speak to you and that it would be clear and recognizable. So Heavenly Father, God, I just pray right now to a God that loves us, to a God that is alive, to a God that made a way where there was no other way. I pray for every heart in this place, God, wherever they are at, God, would you speak to them, God, in a way that they would recognize, God. Would we leave here changed to the way that we walked in, God? I pray peace upon people right now, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, people that are going through difficult paths, God, I pray wisdom, God, for them to make the right decision, God. I pray for the strength of God to be their portion, God, right now in a trying season, God. Lord, for healing to come this morning, we pray, God, to hearts, God, but Lord, to bodies and to souls, God. Restore that which once was, God, we pray in the name of Jesus, God. And we thank you right now for who you are, God. We thank you right now that you are a God that loves us, you are a God that is for us, and you are a God that is ever interceding on behalf of us.